Chapter 15. Human Hurts. Christ said, "My child, what is man, that thou should fear his contempt or insults? Today he seems so strong and powerful, and tomorrow he will be laid in his coffin. Fear only sin and stand by me. Human words and even injuries are not as terrible as they seem. My martyrs who now shine forth in heavenly glory can tell thee how true this is." The harsh critics and the persecutor hurt themselves far more than they hurt their victims. They shall not escape my judgment. I will deal with them as they dealt with their fellow man. Do not seek revenge against them by word or deed. Leave them to me without wishing them any harm. If the criticism and fault-finding of others confuse and discourage thee, turn to me and let me strengthen thee with patience. I shall relieve thee in thy confusion and injury. Remember, too, that this suffering may well be offered to me as a reparation for thy many sins against me. This consideration will make thee more willing to be despised and forsaken by people. Thou wilt then find strength to bear this present trial in peace. At times it is good for thee to suffer opposition and to have people think ill of thee and slight thee, even when thou meant well. This is often a valuable means for gaining humility and patience. Then wilt thou call on me to judge what goes on within thee, as thou realize the unreliability of human judgments and friendships. Think, as long as I live among human beings, I must expect misunderstandings, differences of opinion, criticism, and even bad will. Different people will treat me differently. I tend to treat others as they treat me. If I do this, I shall be making a mistake. Jesus wants me to treat everyone kindly, patiently, and unselfishly for his sake. He wants me to see not them, but him. He will say at the last judgment, "You did it to me." People may think me a fool for not seeking an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but Jesus wants me to forgive and pray for those who hurt me. If I find this too hard, I need only think of what he has done to forgive me my sins and draw me toward heaven. Pray. My loving and all-wise Savior, you lowered yourself to the ground to make up for my many sins. You even asked the Father to forgive me as you hung in agony on the cross. Am I greater than you that I should resent the unkind ways of those around me? In making up for my sins, you embraced many of the human trials which I resent in my daily life. Will I refuse to be like you by my impatience with the human faults around me? Besides, I should not forget my sins. I can offer these trials in reparation for the selfishness which I have shown you in my daily sins and imperfections. Grant me the wisdom to see this truth, and give me the love to follow it. I shall fear no man's words or judgments as much as I fear my own pride and selfishness. Amen. Chapter 16. A Higher Love. Christ said, "My child, the more thou desire the glory of heaven, the less wilt thou care for the good things of this life. The glory and praises of men are all too short. They are imperfect and dissatisfying in one way or another. Thy greatest praise and glory on earth will come not from people, but from a good conscience. When thou have the grace to live this truth, thou wilt look peacefully on many things which trouble the worldly man. Thou wilt see others esteemed and honored, but thou wilt go unnoticed. Others will succeed in their efforts while thou taste failure and disappointment. Others will speak and impress their hearers, whereas thy words will make little or no impression. Others will ask and obtain their request, but thou wilt ask in vain. Others will be trusted with some responsibility, and thou wilt be overlooked as though incapable. True, thy human pride will rebel at such treatment. To bear it in silence is no mean accomplishment. Yet I want thee to rise even higher than this. I want thee to draw closer to my heart and taste a bit of my power and love. Then wilt thou rise above the desires and ambitions of this earthly life. Thou wilt disregard thy own inconveniences, and thou wilt be so eager to do more for me that thou wilt take with joy what thou once avoided and despised. As thou grow in this higher love for me, thou wilt come to forget all self-consideration. Thou wilt eventually love me as much as to despise self. Think, if the saints are examples of this higher virtue, then it is true that the love of Jesus makes one desire ever more of suffering and contempt. This higher love makes a man look for the cross in daily life and embrace it heartily. The apostles actually rejoiced when they suffered humiliation and contempt for Jesus' sake. They were happy to embrace what most men fear and avoid. I cannot appreciate this great grace now, but I should pray for it. Moreover, in my daily life, I can at least try to be glad when little contradictions, reproaches, failures, and the like come to me. Pray. Dearest Lord, this higher love is possible only if I place you above all other desires. Many do this in their words, but too few actually do it in their daily life. I will not feel hurt at being unnoticed by others if I want to be noticed only by you. It is because I do not really see you as my highest treasure that I sin by anger, resentment, envy, and vanity in these human trials of everyday life. I desire to begin at last to do my daily tasks for you alone and to seek only your thanks, appreciation, and love. Let humans deal with me as they will. As long as I have your friendship, my life will be an eternal success. Amen. Chapter 17, Recalling the Sufferings of Jesus. Christ said, My child, do thou wish to know the secret of my saints? Would thou like to understand how they could suffer so many things in peace and even with joy? They meditated often on my trials and sufferings. By burying themselves in my life, they drew strength for many trials. They placed their hearts within mine and were filled with a love which could bear all things for my sake. Come to me and enter into my heart. Thou wilt find strength and comfort in thy daily trials and sufferings. Thou wilt no longer mind being slighted and neglected by people. Thou wilt face evil tongues and bad will with a calm and peaceful soul. And this wilt thou do because thou know me and understand my life. I too was despised by men in my earthly life. In my hour of greatest need, while my enemies mocked and insulted me, I was abandoned by my friends. For love of thee, I consented to be despised and to suffer an untold agony. Wilt thou then dare to complain when thou hast to bear similar things? I had enemies who said many evil things against me. Can thou then grieve because thou do not enjoy the friendship and goodwill of everyone? How canst thou be a true follower of mine if thou wilt not carry my cross? Those who wish to reign with me must suffer and fight with me. Think, this is the secret of the saints. They were so deeply in love with Jesus that they wished to share his life. They wanted to be his friends, not merely in his glory, but also in his battles and trials. If I want to be a friend of Jesus, I too must be with him in suffering and in trials. I must not feel sorry for myself, nor even consider myself. This I can do in my daily life. I need not consider the people who make my life harder. I should see only a glorious opportunity to suffer something for the love of Jesus. Pray. My loving Savior, I desire to be a true friend of yours as you have been and are my truest and best friend. Let me drink your bitter chalice as you drank it for my sake. I wish to forget self and leave all consolation in your hands. For myself, I ask only that I may carefully bear whatever trials and sufferings come to me this day. You deserve all that I can bear and more. Nor will I forget that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to come. Let me offer you all of my heart. It is little enough. Amen. Chapter 18, Man's Daily Cross. Christ said, "My child, I had to bear many trials throughout my earthly life. Knowing this, how can thou seek rest and pleasure for thyself on earth? Believe me, it is a great mistake to expect anything else but suffering and hardship in this life. Man's earthly life is full of miseries and crosses. Wherever thou turn, thou wilt find a cross. If thou carry it willingly, thou wilt find greater strength in the cross, and it will lead thee towards heaven. If thou bear it unwillingly, thou only make it a greater burden than it already is, and thou still have to bear it. One who runs away from the cross is only running toward another cross, perhaps a heavier one. There is no other road to heaven except the way of the cross. No man can escape this cross. Even my saints went through their earthly life burdened by the cross. Not a single hour of my earthly life was free of the cross. I entered into my glory by suffering and dying upon the cross. Do not fear the cross. I shall help thee to bear it." Think, as I embrace my daily cross, I shall find Jesus standing on the other side of it, waiting to help me carry it. I shall not have to carry it alone. My daily life is a partnership with Jesus. He walks every step of it with me. As he proved his love for me by embracing his cross, so do I prove my love for him by embracing my daily trials. True, I may always try to solve my daily problems and remedy my troubles. When, however, my efforts have failed, I should not lose my self-control. By impatience, anger, or rebellion against God's will. Nor need I seek to avoid all of the trials which come my way. At times I can deliberately allow myself to endure things or people who annoy me at least a bit longer than I would naturally like. The more I grow in genuine love for Jesus, the less will I fear or resent the cross. Pray. Lord Jesus, my crucified King, let me never fail to recognize your banner, the cross. You said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Your words are clear. If I love the cross, I am a true follower of yours. If I refuse it by anger, impatience, fault-finding, criticism of superiors, and unkindness, I am no true follower of yours. Grant me the light to recognize your cross when people and events annoy and disturb me. Let me consider the situation, try to remedy it if necessary, but at all times face it with Christ-like self-control. Each moment of the day I wish to be aware of your nearness. When trials come, I wish to handle them as you did in your earthly life. In union with you, I hope to make this life of mine a daily act of love for you. Amen. Chapter 19, Desiring the Cross. Christ said, "My child, to bear thy daily cross, to actually love it, to gain control over thy body by punishing it, to avoid honors, to desire insults, to despise thyself and to want others to despise thee, to bear all trials and disappointments with peace of soul, to desire no prosperity in this world, all of this is not natural to any normal human being. One who has these desires and follows them out is either abnormal or he is putting on a show to get admiration or some other human satisfaction, or else he is receiving the higher wisdom of divine grace. Without my grace, such spiritual victories over self are impossible. Thy weak human nature could not rise to such heights of supernatural virtue. My grace brings thee a strength unknown to the worldly man. With this strength thou can gain control over thy pride and earthly self-seeking. Be a good and loyal soldier of mine. Be determined to embrace thy cross for love of me. I warn thee now that if thou art resolved to prove thy love for me, thou can only do it by embracing thy daily cross of annoyances, labors, disappointments, opposition, and even different forms of persecution. The higher thou rise in true and solid virtue, the more easily wilt thou recognize thy crosses and embrace them. In fact, as thy love for me grows, so too will thy love for the cross. When I feel that I can trust thee with a heavier cross, I will give it to thee. Fear not, however, for I will never burden thee beyond thy strength. With these heavier crosses, I will be offering thee greater glory and happiness in heaven. Think, my strength to bear the cross will come from the cross itself. I need only prepare my soul for it by prayer and self-training. I should practice little acts of self-denial in preparation for the unexpected trial which will soon come. Then, as I am faced with the trial, Jesus will help me understand its higher value. He will show me how I can draw closer to Him by embracing this cross with patience and self-forgetfulness. The more selflessly I embrace my daily crosses, the more shall I find in them wisdom, understanding, love, and supernatural strength. I shall see through the emptiness of earthly satisfactions and pretense. My self-sacrifices will bring me a firmer love for Jesus, and I shall gradually find it easier to suffer my daily trials for His sake. In fact, if I generously follow these graces, I may even receive grace to desire a heavier cross for love of Jesus. Pray. My crucified King, I kneel now at the foot of your cross and consider the heavenly lesson which you teach me from there. In your suffering, I shall learn how I too should embrace my daily crosses in order to make reparation for my sins, become more fit for higher graces, and offer to you a love purified of selfishness and self-consideration. You deserve such devotion from me. True, my human nature shudders at the thought of suffering any insults, criticisms, mockery, failures, disappointments, and pain. With the higher wisdom and strength which I shall gain through my present crosses, I shall prepare myself for still greater ones. You alone can perform this glorious change within me. I hope for it with the help of your holy grace. Amen. Chapter 20, Benefits of the Cross. Christ said, My child, when thou have come to know the full value of the cross, it will no longer be such a puzzle to thee, nor wilt thou ever again seek to avoid it. Thou wilt then see it as a valuable help for many spiritual gifts right here on earth. Thou wilt embrace thy daily trials with joy. In the cross thou wilt find a deep interior peace and joy. Thou wilt understand why those who hate or fear the cross are to be pitied. The cross will bring thee a clear mind which will see the heavenly value of what thou art enduring. The cross will help thee to think straight. Thou wilt look on the cross as a ladder raising thee up toward me. Thy mental and spiritual health will be excellent because thou wilt be free from fear, confusion, and discontent. In the daily cross thou wilt find a fuller life, a deep sense of my nearness to thee, and of thy daily progress toward heaven. Temptations cannot shake one who truly loves the cross. If there were anything on earth better than the cross, would I not have chosen it? The cross, more than anything else, will enrich thy soul with many virtues on earth and countless merits in heaven. The cross will best prepare thee for thy last and most important examination. No man can be sure of his own true worth until he has learned to recognize and embrace the cross in his daily life. That is why I commanded, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Never forget for a moment this truth. Through many trials wilt thou enter into the eternal kingdom of heaven. Therefore, take up thy daily cross and follow me. Think, I must never forget that Jesus' life on earth was a protest against all blind human pride and selfishness. These are my worst enemies. Therefore, I must embrace my daily cross as a protection against pride and selfishness. Secondly, Jesus embraced his cross as an example of true virtue. He followed his Father's will in preference to his own human will. Therefore, I must do likewise when my daily life is disagreeable or difficult. Thirdly, he died for me to prove his personal love for me. In embracing my daily cross, I shall prove my personal love for Jesus. Pray. Lord Jesus, since your way is narrow and despised by the world, grant me the privilege of walking this way unafraid of the hardship and unaffected by the contempt of worldly people. You said that the servant is not greater than his master. Help me live as you did each day. In this way alone shall I reach my true perfection on earth and my eternal happiness in heaven. I refuse to be attracted by anything else in my daily life. I now accept my daily cross from your hands. I embrace it with the desire to bear it gladly for the rest of my life. Grant me vision to see you instead of the people involved in my daily trials. Give me strength to go on with my feelings rebel and seek to escape the daily cross. I hope to live this daily life in union with you, my divine model and King. Amen. Part 2, Virtues Leading Directly to God. Chapter 21, Faith. Christ said, "My child, he who believes my words possesses the truth. I have spoken to the world, firstly, through man's conscience, secondly, through the prophets, thirdly, through my personal life on earth, and finally, through my church. My church continues my work on earth. Her voice is my voice, and her authority was given to her by me. He that heareth you heareth me, I told my apostles. They still carry on my work through their legitimate successors. The scriptures and the traditions would have been subject to errors and misinterpretations if I had not left an infallible church. Do not be surprised if they cannot understand all that I teach. As the intelligence of adults is greater than that of a child, so too is my divine intelligence far above that of mortal men. He who believes only what he can understand is limiting himself to a very small portion of the truth which I revealed. Human reason is weak, and it may be deceived in many things. That is why I told my church to teach what I have commanded, promising to preserve her from error. Had I not made these promises, thou would have no way of being sure that thou art following my words correctly. Only to my church did I grant a guarantee from error. He that heareth you heareth me, I told my apostles. The world today needs that guarantee more than ever, and therefore my promise still stands. I do not demand great intelligence. I ask only for faith in my words and loyalty to my will. I will not deny my grace to any man who is willing to pray and labor for my gift of faith. Think. God wants faith and a holy life. Whatever I cannot understand, I can safely believe on his word. He cannot deceive me because he is the fountain of all truth. When I take God's word, I am performing the most intelligent act possible to man. I can learn God's thoughts and holy will by learning the doctrines and commands which his Son placed in his holy church. Christ speaks to me through his church. He teaches me his unerring view of life and offers me his holy peace. In his sacraments, he gives me his own heavenly strength to avoid what is wrong and to do what is right. Pray. God of truth, can I ever doubt what you have revealed through your divine Son? Jesus has brought me your message. Moreover, he has preserved the message from error and misunderstanding in the church which he founded. Through his church, he has promised to speak to me and to guide me on toward eternal life. Let me never tire of learning ever more and more about your holy truth. Make me eager to use your holy sacraments as often as possible. Only when I fail to use these heavenly gifts does the battle for heaven become too difficult. Let me prove my faith by a continual effort to know you better and serve you more perfectly in my daily life. Grant that I may make full use of your wonderful gift to me, the church. May I never be so foolish as to depend only on my small human knowledge and strength in the daily combat for heaven. Amen. Chapter 22, Gratitude for God's Gifts. Christ said, My child, let gratitude never leave thy heart. Thou have no idea how much thou owe to me. After giving thee each moment of life, I offer thee mercy when thou sin. I send thee my grace to arouse thee to penance for thy sins and to fight against future temptations. All this I do for thee because I love thee. I desire to raise thee up to a heavenly glory, though of thyself thou art nothing. Man's greatest ingratitude is his ingratitude to me, since he owes me absolutely everything in his life. No one else can ever deserve the thanks which thou owe to me. Ingratitude can prevent me from granting thee still greater favors. An ungrateful man will never use my gifts as well as he might. Only when thou keep thy eyes on me wilt thou make the best use of my gifts. The man who enjoys my gifts without considering the giver will sooner or later fall into sin. As soon as he forgets about his complete dependence on me, he begins to make too much of himself. Be a man of truth. Refuse to live a lie. Be grateful for each gift of mine. Do not consider thyself worthy of anything. Remember that without me, thou art nothing. Be grateful to the divine goodness that called thee into being. Let thy gratitude extend to all things in life, even to the less pleasant and more difficult things which I may send thee. I have planned thy life with my wisdom and love. All things are meant to help thee in one way or another. Think, if I began to count the things which I owe to God, I would never finish counting, because each added moment of life is another gift. The best gratitude which I can offer him is to use his gifts properly. He has given me the intelligence to do this. When my intelligence is uncertain, I can consult his church. Obedience to his holy will is my best gratitude. Every sin is an act of ingratitude for the particular gifts which I am misusing at the moment. Pray. My Creator and Father, earthly parents with their love and care for their children, are but an imperfect image of you, the all-loving Father of all. Each second of our lives is a loving gift of yours. You watch over us, help us, and keep us in existence each moment of the day and night. Instead of an occasional thank you, we ought to shout it with every breath. We can do this best by obeying your holy will in all that we do. Grant us the wisdom of gratitude, so that we may one day receive from you the greatest gift of all, the happiness and joy of heaven. Amen. Chapter 23, The Supernatural Virtue of Hope. Christ said, My child, one of the most wonderful virtues in thy soul is the virtue of hope. I placed it there as a tiny seed at thy baptism. It was to grow and help thee through life's trials and difficulties. This is the virtue which makes thee desire me as the highest good. It inspires thee to look forward to heaven's unending joys and confidently expect from me whatever help is needed to gain eternal life. This virtue calms all fears and worries about thy salvation. It helps thee look to my power, see my goodness, and rely upon my love. It makes thee firm and confident when doubts and difficulties tempt thee to turn away from me in despair. Supernatural hope makes thee expect my help in thy daily efforts to live a good life. This heavenly gift of hope, however, is incomplete without thy sincere daily effort to fulfill my will in thy daily life. He who expects to gain eternal happiness without doing his part is guilty of the sin of presumption. Hope makes thy prayers more effective. I cannot refuse one who firmly and confidently expects my assistance in his real needs. The man of hope wants only what is really necessary for his final success. Even when he prays for an earthly favor, he wants it only if it will improve him or the person for whom he prays. The perfection of this virtue is a complete self-surrender to my wisdom in all matters. The supernatural virtue of hope gives vision to the mind, strength to the will, courage to the heart, and endurance to the body. It makes one sure of victory because he relies upon me, the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God. This wonderful virtue brings a sense of security to the soul. Work out thy salvation in hope and fear not, for I shall never fail thee. Think. St. Paul says that we are saved by hope. How true! With such a virtue in my soul, how can I be lost? I will turn to God with a firm confidence. I will place my life in his hands by embracing all of his commandments and by fulfilling his will, even when it is disagreeable or difficult. God will not be outdone in generosity. He will supply whatever strength is necessary for this. Once I develop this holy virtue of hope within me, I shall know at last what it means to be free of fears and doubts. I shall then possess the peace of God. Pray. O God of love, all-powerful and all-wise, I turn to you today in hope. I want to be yours as you yourself want me to be. Let me prove my sincerity by doing whatever is necessary to obtain this holy favor. You want to give me the supernatural strength to become ever more perfect in my daily life. You will never deny me whatever is truly necessary for my highest success. I desire to begin at last to live a life of loyalty to your wonderful plan. If I look toward heaven in my daily activities, many things will become easier. Sadness, discouragement, fear, and despair will never torment me. Lord, show me the way. I long to follow your holy will along this road to peace and heavenly glory. True, you may lead me along rough paths at times, but I must not forget that my final destination is well worth the trouble. Amen. Chapter 24, Man's Main Hope. Christ said, My child, as long as thou art on earth, thou wilt have to make good use of food, rest, medicine, recreation, companionship, and so forth. However, do not make the mistake of considering these natural things as the only remedies of thy various needs. Otherwise, thou wilt place too much hope in them and expect more from them than they can give thee. Only from me may thou expect perfect, all-satisfying happiness. Be wise and place thy greatest hope in me. I am the maker and preserver of all things. Nothing will help thee if I do not give it the power to do so. Whether or not thou realize it, I am thy highest good. Without me there is no lasting good, no enduring happiness. If thou hope in me above all else, thou wilt not be disappointed. I shall not fail in what is truly best for thee. Do not place too much hope in any person or thing on earth. Use whatever thou can honestly obtain to improve thy earthly life, but do not live as though this life were the only life. I am thy Creator and Redeemer. Place thy main hope in me. Follow my will as perfectly as thou can, and when earthly friends and remedies fail thee, do not despair. I shall not fail thee. Stand by me, and I will help thee reach the all-satisfying success of heaven. Think. Hope keeps men ever striving in this earthly life. So often they find disappointment and dissatisfaction in things which they had desired so eagerly. Yet, with renewed hope, they redirect their efforts toward other objects, still seeking the satisfaction which they have failed to find. Too often men limit their vision. They do not see that nothing can ever give them the slightest degree of satisfaction unless God gives it to the power to do so. I should never lose sight of this fact, but I must look to Him with gratitude and with hope in all my needs. God has perfect control over all things at all times, and I receive them as from His hand. My main hope must be God. I can accomplish this by making intelligent use of all that I have and all that comes my way each day. In this way, I shall prove that I treasure God more than all earthly goods, and that I hope to be with Him forever in heaven. Pray. Lord, no matter how unworthy I may feel, I hope to be with You in heaven someday. I place all of my hope in You, relying on Your goodness, wisdom, and love. Help me to prove this hope by a loyal following of Your holy will in all that happens to me today. I will deal with all things and events as You desire, that is, without pride, impatience, or any other form of selfishness. I will use whatever I need with the intention of pleasing You rather than pleasing myself alone. In my use of earthly remedies, I will not forget that Your holy will is still governing every move that I make. Never will You abandon those who hope in You. In You, I place all of my hopes. Do with me as You see fit, since no one knows and seeks my welfare more than You. Amen. Chapter 25. Trust in God. Christ said, "Son, all men must have some friend in whom they can place their confidence and trust. Without such a friend, thou cannot live happily. The more that friend means to thee, the greater will be the happiness which he brings thee. What human friend can ever mean as much to thee as I do? Who thinks of thee as much as I do? Consider how much I have done for thee, and thou wilt easily understand that I am thy truest friend. To neglect me is to neglect him whom thou need most and who loves thee most. When thou trust in humans without considering my place in thy life, thou art building on sand. All intelligence, strength, and every good thing are my gifts. Without these gifts thou art nothing, and thy life is a wasted effort. Thy human friends can fail thee, at least by their inability to help thee in all things. Their judgments can be quite mistaken, and they can lead thee astray even when they wish to help thee. Thou wilt find perfect and unfailing friendship only in me, and in my angels and saints. Let thy greatest trust and confidence be in me at all times." Think. Humans are so often fooled by appearances. Some people are impressed only by visible results. Their praise is worthless because they fail to see the inner goodness of others. Or again, they do not realize how brief are the trials and joys of this present life. Am I that shallow, or do I try to follow God's way of thinking? Is my trust in Him shaken by the judgments of worldly-minded people? It is never God who lets me down, but it is I who fail Him. I refuse to trust in Him completely by letting Him govern my daily life as He wishes. As a result, I find myself slipping or failing in life's greatest achievement, the daily battle for goodness and holiness. Pray. My God, what greater folly is there than to think that I can manage my daily life without Your guidance and assistance? Yet, on many occasions I do just that. I go about my business without consulting You. You are my surest refuge and my glory, my hope and all-powerful helper. Without You, I am truly nothing, and my life is a wasted effort. Only with Your help can I hope to reach heaven's eternal success. Let me never again waver in my confidence. No person, no thing, no event will ever again shake my trust in You. I shall esteem my friends for what they are worth, but never will I think more of them than of You. My loyalty shall be first to Your holy will, and then to all others. Amen. Chapter 26. trust in divine providence. Christ said, "My child, everything on earth needs my support in order to continue in existence. Not for a single moment can I withdraw my power from anything. If I did, it would vanish into the nothingness from which I created it. I provide for all things from the moment they begin to exist, so that they may accomplish their purpose. I am the fountain of all good, the power of all life, the depth of all knowledge. To trust in me is thy highest wisdom and deepest consolation." The more thou see of earthly consolation, the more thou wilt realize how limited, brief, and imperfect it is. When thou have learned to place thy main hope and confidence in me alone, thou wilt enjoy the peace of a pure heart. Do not merely talk of me as thy one great hope. Prove thy sincerity and virtue by a firm trust in my wisdom and assistance, no matter what happens in thy daily life. Prove thy complete confidence in me by setting no conditions and making no reservations. Want what I want for thee. Prefer my decisions for thee in all things. I will send only what is best for thee. Think. God cannot want anything except what is best for me. He made me only for one reason, to give me the all-satisfying happiness which my heart craves. My mistake lies in thinking with a worldly outlook. I do not always realize that the good things of this life are but imperfect reflections of God. They are tiny hints of the good things which God has prepared for those who truly love Him. Hence it is the height of wisdom for me to place my life in His hands and to leave it there. This means that I will do my best each day to live intelligently, seeking what is right and good, and avoiding what is wrong and sinful. I will not be over-anxious to get what is beyond my reach, nor will I foolishly fight against what I cannot avoid. God will see that I get what is truly best for me. As long as I'm doing what is humanly possible, I may be sure that God will not let me suffer anything which is not good for me in the long run. Pray. Father of mercies, my loving God, to you I lift up my eyes, and in your hands I place my life with all its cares, labors, duties, joys, and sorrows. My trust will always be in you above all else. Let me never displease you by fears, worries, or self-pity. You are taking care of me in all that occurs each day. You love me so much more than I realize. Guide my thoughts, words, and actions this day and every day of my earthly life. I hope to follow your holy will as it comes to me in life's daily circumstances and events. Though I must use things to better myself and to solve my problems, I will never rely on them as though they were my only refuge. I want to see you behind everything which I use. I desire to see you leading me on toward eternal glory in all that happens to me this day. Amen. Chapter 27, The Virtue of Charity. Christ said, "My child, at thy baptism I placed the virtue of charity in thy soul, expecting thee to develop it after thou had reached the age of reason. This is the virtue which causes thee to love me above all things for my own sake. It also enables thee to love others for my sake. This virtue is thy greatest perfection. There is no greater achievement in human life than to love me, the supreme good. No natural love can compare with the supernatural love of charity. Charity loves what is best, and it loves for the highest reason. The man of charity loves me above all else because I am the highest good. Charity makes a man more godlike. Thou read in Scripture that God is love. By charity thou become like me, loving all that is right and good. Charity is the perfection of all other love. It reaches out to my perfect goodness and places me first among its preferences. Even in his love for created things, the man of charity seeks them because they help him come closer to me in daily life. He no longer accepts any person or thing according to his likes and dislikes, but according to their goodness, that is, according to their ability to draw his thoughts and desires more firmly toward me. He prefers those persons and things which help him please me most. Develop this holy virtue in thy daily life. Do it firstly by keeping my commandments. Secondly, by honoring me frequently in private prayers and acts of public worship. Thirdly, by dealing unselfishly with people for my sake. True, thou hast to protect thyself against the selfishness and bad will of people on earth, but in so doing, beware of being bitter, inconsiderate, or unjust toward them. For my sake, wish everyone well, and as far as thou art able, help those in need. In this way, thou wilt prove that thou possess genuine charity in thy soul. At the conclusion of the music, please go on to the next tape.